Welcome to Blue Shift, brought to you from NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center. I'm Maggie Massetti. This is the final part of our interview with Phil Plait, the so-called bad astronomer. Last time we talked about the value of actually looking up at the sky. Looking up can make you feel small, but it can also help you to realize that you're part of a larger picture. There's also the feeling that you may be familiar with some of what's in the night sky, but there's also so much out there left to discover and to try to understand.
It's an interesting dichotomy. You know, and I'm pretty familiar with the sky. I've been an amateur astronomer my whole life. Mm-hmm. I go out and I see all those stars and I think, wow, you know, I can name a lot of them, but there are, you know, 10 up there that I can see for every one I can name, if not 100. Mm-hmm. And so it makes you feel like, wow, it's just to be a small, tiny part of this. But then the flip side of that is you can look at Betelgeuse and say, well, that's this type of supergiant, and we know that it's this, and we know it's going to blow up, and we know this and that and the other thing. And it's like, we know so much about what's going on out there. And every day we know a little bit more, and sometimes a lot more. And it's this beautiful contrast of being tiny and small and so much and being overwhelmed, but also being an integral part of it and understanding it and seeing it for what it is. And these two things are hand in glove, and I love that.
Well, and it's just very much about knowledge and about understanding our place.
Understanding is the word I would use.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Have you ever debunked one of your own misconceptions?
Yeah, sure. Everybody walks around with things in their head that are wrong. And I've even had contradictory ideas in my head. Everybody does. Where I've thought one thing and then thought something totally contrary to that at the same time. But those two ideas never came up at the same time. And then when they do, you go, oh, one of these must be wrong. and that happens. It happens in astronomy, but it happens more often with me in fields I'm not as familiar with, like biology or something like that, geology especially, because I love geology. And again, you know, I'm not sure I could come up with a specific example off the top of my head, but certainly, because I've written about it, I've written on my blog saying, I always thought this, and it turns out I've been wrong this whole time. And I could have known that. And that's fantastic, because when that happens, you know, it's a little embarrassing, but far outweighing any potential personal embarrassment is the idea of, ooh, I know something better now. And that's the kind of ultimate goal of science. We may not ever know everything, but we can always get closer, and knowing more is the point.
That's a perfect soundbite. You're good at this, Phil.
I'll just make most of this up.
Okay, good. Well,
it takes strength to do it the first time. It gets easier. And it's not always easier every single time, because it's not, sometimes these mistakes are little and you go, oh, that was wrong. And sometimes it's like, oh, my entire life has been wrong. You know, I'm living a lie. And that's really hard to admit to. But it doesn't take as much strength as you think. And in fact, once you do it, you'll look back and go, oh, I'm really glad I did that. And it's not like you're going to look forward to being wrong in the future. But you stop looking at it as an impediment, and you start looking at it as a way to help you climb over that next hurdle and learning more.
Well, and I think that's what good educators learn, and it's what people who are in a position like yours have to learn, or basically you're just arrogant about it. If you can't ever be wrong, there's something fundamentally wrong with you.
To me, that's the sin. Making a mistake, an honest mistake, is one thing, but then holding it to your chest and not letting go of it, that's the mistake. Mm-hmm. That's the much bigger mistake. And if you don't make mistakes, if you don't make errors and then look at them and figure out where you went wrong and learn from it, how are you ever going to improve? That's how we learn, by making mistakes. One way we learn.
What about the fact that people have trouble understanding that science can be wrong and that's all right? And rather see it as science is not reliable or science is not trustworthy because sometimes scientists are wrong.
The media and in politics, and I know we can't touch on politics too much since NASA mm-hmm. is in fact a government agency, but there's a lot of times where there's a distrust of science, and that is fed by people who maybe want to make science look bad. And I run across this all the time, and my take on it is that this is how we learn. Yes, you know what, science maybe once you, if you want to make the case that science once thought the Earth was flat, which is baloney. Science never thought that. Science doesn't think anything. But, you know, the Earth was flat and da 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 da, all these kind of things. I say, yeah, but you know what? We learned from that. And even with hoaxes, Piltdown Man and that sort of thing. Do you think it was the believers in that thing who fixed it? No, it was the people who looked at it scientifically and said, hey, this is wrong. Mm-hmm. That's how we learn. And so it's not that science making mistakes is a weakness. In fact, that is science's greatest strength. In a hurricane, the tree that can't bend gets snapped. The one that can bend is the one that survives. And science can bend. There are people out there who still think the Earth is flat. They're still wrong. But when you look at the scientific evidence, there's a lot of reasons to understand that the Earth is actually a sphere. And then you know, if you really apply science, you learn it's not actually a sphere. It's an oblate spheroid, and then it's got all these other terms to it and everything like that. And the more you learn, the cooler it is. So look, if you want to accuse science of being sort of a flat Earth kind of thinking, that is completely wrong. And it is the fact that we know the Earth isn't flat that is the reason science is so strong.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this multi-part interview with Phil. I personally find him to be a very dynamic and passionate speaker, and I think those things make him a great spokesperson for the value of science. We hope we've managed to pass a little of his enthusiasm on to you. Be sure to check out our blog at universe.nasa.gov/blueshift. That's where you can find more information about this podcast, as well as our previous podcasts and blogs. You can also find us on Twitter and Facebook as NASA Blueshift, all one word. Tell us what you'd like to hear about there or through our website feedback form. I'm Maggie Massetti, bringing the universe closer to you with Blueshift.